Megillah, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Tes, 4:9. More on inappropriate things to be said, both before the community when one's davening and otherwise. The Mishnah says, HaOmer, if one says, Yirvachucha Tovim, the good folk should bless you, meaning it should be your will, Hashem, that the tzaddikim should bless you, but not the Rishoyim. Hareza derech haminus, that is the way of heresy. The reason why is because, according to proper Jewish hashkafa, we understand that the righteous and non-righteous alike should be praising Hashem. We actually learn more than that from the chelbana, one of the 11 ingredients included in the incense in the base of Mikdash, which didn't smell good on its own. It's to be included with the rest of the recipe to teach that all Jews, whether they are tzaddikim or otherwise, should be included in the minyan, should be participating in the communal affairs, pray together and so on, and therefore not just the tovim, but the not-so-tovim, not-so-good people should also be Mevarach Hashem. If a person says, Al kan tzipur yagiyu rachamecha, in the course of his saying of, say, Tachanun prayers, he says that just as your mercy reaches the bird's nest, and as much as Hashem said you can't take the eggs or the chicks before chasing with the mother bird, so they shouldn't have to see that happen, so it's like mercy on the mother bird, so to speak. So too, you should have mercy on us when he says something like that. So that's suggesting that he knows how Hashem works and that he's motivated by mercy and so on, which is totally inappropriate. When we think about mitzvahs, like the mitzvah of Shiluch HaKen, to send away the mother bird, we should relate to it first and foremost as a Gezar Melech. Hashem decided to make that rule, and we follow it because Hashem said. We don't presume to know the depth of Hashem's rules. Of course, we can try to understand them, but we have to be careful not to put words, so to speak, into Hashem's mouth. So that would be very inappropriate, and the din will be in a moment, we'll see, Meshaskin also, if he did that, said those words while leading the prayers in the synagogue, we silence him. Similarly, if a person says, Al tov yizachar shemecha, your name should be recalled for the good. That is to say, it's the good stuff that you do for us, and for those things we recall your name. That implies that we only thank Hashem for the good things, but the bad things we either don't thank Him for or we don't ascribe to Him. Again, that's totally inappropriate. Hashem does everything, and even if we think it's bad, it's Hashem's doing. And more than that, the rule is that K'shem she'adam chayev levarach al hatov, just as a person has to thank Hashem for the good that happens to him, you make the bracha tova meitiv, kach chayev levarach al hara, a person should also thank Hashem for the things that happened to him that he didn't want to happen, and that's the bracha dayan ha'emes, bracha dayan ha'emes, by which one is matzdik the din, by one accepts Hashem's justice. At all events, the point is that we don't have the Superman vision of God where he does the good stuff and not the bad, and therefore if one would suggest that Hashem's only recalled in connection with the good things, that's also going to be heretical, and one who said that should be silenced. And thirdly, says the Mishnah, Modim, modim. If a person says the modim blessing twice, there are actually two possibilities here. Either he says the word modim two times, or he says that paragraph of modim anachnu lach two times. Halacha, both those are totally inappropriate because it suggests he's as if he's thanking two separate deities, like the good God and the bad God or whatever it is, chas v'shalom. And therefore, in all three of those scenarios, mishasknoso, we silence him from continuing on. And we point out that's totally inappropriate to say. Now, the Mishnah now talks about a new case where a person isn't davening from the Amud or something like that. He's not praying in front of the community. He just simply, let's say, he's giving a drasha, a public drasha, and he is mechane ba'arayos. A mechane ba'arayos means one who understands the section of the Torah talking about arayos, forbidden incestuous relationships. He interprets it in sort of like a euphemistic way or a metaphorical way. Kinoi is like a euphemism or a nickname or something like that. So the point is that he says, when the Torah says things like Ervas avicha lo segale, you may not reveal the nakedness of your father, or Ervas imecha, and so on. So he understands that the literal translation is, you shall not reveal the nakedness of your father and mother. So he says that means he interprets that to mean like they're, you know, they're embarrassing things to embarrass them, to reveal things that should be otherwise covered up, as opposed to being, you know, exposed. Of course, that's not the pshat. The pshat is a prohibition against like sleeping with your father, mother, etc. But he does it in this euphemistic way. So then Meshaskno, so we silence him because that's totally inappropriate. He is explaining the Torah not in an appropriate way, not in the, he's Megala Panim B'Torah Shloka Lacha. He's not, he's misinterpreting and therefore misinforming people of the meaning of the psukim. And therefore we Meshaskno, so we silence him. Of course, there'd be terrible implications, wrong implications. It would suggest that if a person would embarrass his father or mother, he'd be chayav misa, etc. That's certainly not true. There's no capital penalty for embarrassing your parents, and so on. Ha'omer mizaracha lo titin lahavir lamolech. If a person says the verse which says, you shall not give over your zarecha. Zarecha means your offspring, but literally means your seed. To Molech. Molech, it was an idol, and this was like a idolatrous practice done by Canaanite peoples. They would pass over their children to Molech between two fires, or in the fire, but say even between two fires. The point is, this is a ritual, an idolatrous ritual, which the Torah prohibits in one of the 613 mitzvahs. So if a person says that, it doesn't mean that literally. What it means is Mizarecha lo titen La Abra Ba'armayusa, you shouldn't give of your seed to impregnate an Aramean woman, meaning that he interprets this not as to participate in the ritual for Molech, but rather that's sort of a euphemism and symbolic language for passing over your seed to impregnate a Gentile woman. So again, that would again be being Megala Panim B'Torah Shelo Kalacha, because that's not true. One who sleeps with a Gentile woman certainly is not subject to the death penalty, as one would be for participating in the idolatrous ritual of Molech. And worse than that, it sort of would also perhaps lead to leniencies, because it suggests that maybe it's only in Armayusa, only like an Aramean woman who's forbidden, as opposed to other Gentile nations, or similarly, you might think it's for impregnation, but if she wouldn't become pregnant, it wouldn't be forbidden, and so on. Well, these things are wrong. And therefore, Meshask Meso B'Nazifa, we silence that person, not just silence them, but also with Nazifa. This is actually a technical term. It means we formally censure him in a way that he's expected to sort of retreat to his home and act like one who's been publicly humiliated, not looking people in the eye, and so on. It's like a formal procedure. It's not cherem or nidu, it's not a formal excommunication, but it certainly is a public censure that has consequences. And the point is, this is even worse now than just regular Meshaskno. So now, according to the Meiri, for example, he understands this Nazifa applies both to both cases, the case of explaining the Mechana Barayos case, as well as the Molech case, because they're the same thing. You're teaching Torah, not Kalacha. The Bar Tanur doesn't seem to learn that way. The Bar Tanur seems to learn that this second case is worse than the first case and deserving of Nazifa. Perhaps because the kula can come out much worse over here. The Rambam understands in the Perish Mishnayos that what's going on in, he has to differentiate, of course, why it should be more severe in the second case. In the first case, when it says Mechana Barayos, he is being, like I'm using Kinuyim, he's being, I don't know, euphemistic, gentle language when it comes to the section about Arayos. So the way he understands it is that the Pasuk, which should read Ervas Avicha ve'Ervas Imcha, like the nakedness of your father, the nakedness of your mother, he reads it publicly as Ervas Aviv, Ervas Imo, in the third person, his, not your, but his father. Sorry, instead of saying your father and your mother, he says his father and his mother. So it sort of like takes the severity off, it's less embarrassing. So he reads it publicly wrongly. That, of course, is incorrect because you're reading the Torah incorrectly, but doesn't carry with the same kind of like not lahalacha approach that reinterpreting the verse would have. Okay, at all events, all the above is wrong, should not be done publicly, should not be done privately, and one, of course, should stick to the explanation of the Chazal in the meaning of all these psukim.